Thayer Thomas reverses field, cuts it up. Thomas gets a block. He's got a chance. Thayer Thomas makes a house call.
All right, folks, we're back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast, and I have the return of a special guest. I don't even know if it's a special guest. Can I call you a guest anymore?
I don't know. I don't know how it would work.
Well, Dustin's back with us to bring some levity to the podcast. So, Dustin, thanks. I appreciate you coming back.
No problem. I feel like this is kind of like banging an ex-girlfriend. Like, it's going to be fun, and then I won't call you back for another year or so, but eventually...
That's great. That's the perfect analogy. Well, Dustin's got a baby on the way, so he definitely won't be coming back anytime soon.
No.
Have you decided to name her Carter or Finley?
You know, that could work. We still need a middle name, so I can float that. We'll see how it goes.
Waylon Carter Hill? I mean, that sounds pretty good.
That'd be interesting for a girl, yeah. But, we'll see. I'm pretty sure that the middle name will be decided when the birth certificate is signed. So,
I like it. Yeah, my random story. My wife, when she was born, my father-in-law was down in the cafeteria when the lady came in with the birth certificate, and she was supposed to be some other name, and her mom changed it without her dad knowing. Ooh. Like, filled it in. It's like, yep.
Yeah, that'd get me shot or cut. So I'll probably stay away from that. But
It was a simpler time back then.
Yeah.
Well, this was supposed to be episode 100, but I didn't actually record post Ball State game. My one post Ball State thought was that when I was leaving the stadium, the lack of excitement was just palpable. I mean, nobody was really talking about it, and it was and I really just couldn't muster what to talk about, so I didn't record. So this is 99, break into 100 at some point later, but I wanted to get Dustin on before the baby came, and you know, scheduling and all that jazz. But anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Dustin some questions I didn't tell him ahead of time. We literally just planned this in the last minute. So Dustin, I want to get your thoughts on some things. You know, looking back 12 months, do you wish Tennessee had hired Dave Dorn?
No. No, I sure don't. They look awful now, but that was a shitty situation that Pruitt walked into there. I'm not convinced that he's going to turn it around for good, but I know that I wouldn't expect it to have been done already. And he's in a tight spot where he's got guys on that team that are, you know, juniors and seniors, and they have no idea how to win, really. So it's at a point where do you pull the trigger and put the young guys in? But if you look at their next three games, it's Georgia, Mississippi State, and then at Alabama. So you put those young guys in and break them? No. You just got to tough through it. I'm still not convinced that Dorn's the right guy for NC State. So...
Ooh, hot take.
Yeah.
I'll get back to that. Is Phil Fulmer setting himself up to take over in a couple of weeks?
Dude, I hope Coach comes back. I really do. I actually joked with my wife about that Saturday when Florida was curb stomping them about how, man, Coach is going to come back and lead us back to 98. But, no, I don't think he will. I think he knows he's out of the game. Pruitt's good for another year or two, definitely two more years. So.
All right, it'll be interesting. I think that's what everybody's kind of expecting that. But anyway, on to NC State, on to the Wolfpack. What's up with the quarterback? What's up with QB play?
I mean, he's a first-year starter, and we've been spoiled. That's it. I don't think there's anything really wrong. I'm not one to say yank him out, you know. I think – When you look at what we're used to, that's the biggest problem with him right now in perception. Yeah, he's got problems with deep ball. He's also played, what, four games?
Right.
So I think there's a lot going on there. I think it's more than quarterback. I think it's a change in OCs. there's a lot there. He you know, Amezi's there, and that's his favorite guy, but a lot of receivers are gone from last year. Fluctuation on the O-line. I think there's a lot more to it than the quarterback. I'm not crazy about play calling necessarily. I wouldn't get your pitchforks out yet for the guy, but I mean, he's no Finley, he's no Jacoby, but we knew that, and we shouldn't expect that of him at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I generally feel the same way. I think, you know, he's only played four games. I mean, I think you can chalk a lot of it up to that. I don't know what his top end is and if his top end's higher than the other two guys or if he gives you the best chance to win now, and that's what Dorn's thinking. But there's definitely some inexperience coming into play there. I don't understand why he struggles. I don't know. What's seemingly the easy throws. I'm not just talking about the deep ball, right? Everybody knows that. But I think that's correctable. I think that comes with practice and stuff. But, you know, he's thrown quite a few screen passes behind players and, you know, just some of the simple throws. And he just hasn't looked sharp, you know, at least like he did in the first two games. Now, I get that's probably a lot of a competition level, right? ECU and Western probably worse than we imagined them to be. And that makes anybody look good. But he's definitely got some issues. I just, you know, I'm with you. I think a lot of it is inexperience. But I am curious what his top end is. And I'm not even sure if that makes sense. But, like, what's his ceiling versus everybody calling for Hockman or Leary? What's their ceiling? Yeah, you know, are they higher ceilings, but they're worse right now because they are more inexperienced? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I'm still confused. And I know I had seen you had sent a group chat we're in a screenshot of Leary's dad. Why is Leary not playing at all?
Yeah, so to catch people up, let me pull that up because Leary's dad since deleted it. I put it out on Twitter, and then I pulled it back just because I figured at some point he was going to delete it too. And I think it's a bit of the heat of the moment. But what Leary's dad responded to the actual NC State football account and said, as a former college football player and high school coach, a win is a win. However, and sorry, Wolfpack Nation, but you'll never see my son play for the Wolfpack. Coach's choice, not ours. Totally disgusted. So that's a pretty ominous tweet. He'd since deleted it. I think it's a bit of the heat of the moment. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman. You know, is that a case of an overzealous dad wanting his kid in the game? You know, I guess I can understand the frustration when you look at how inept the offense has been in the second half of the last two games especially, and then to see your kid sitting on the sideline. You know, I can get that. I don't know if that really means he's transferring or if that's just the future.
Right.
I kind of expect it, though. You know, you can't keep everybody happy, right? There's three four-star quarterbacks on the roster, and then, you know, Matt McKay was a four-star by one service, I believe. So you can't keep all those guys happy. That's just – in today's college football, that's not reasonable. I think people would hate to see him transfer because he was so hyped coming out of high school.
Yeah, and I feel like why did he not develop enough to get, you know, where did that talent go, I guess is my thing.
Right.
And that I don't want to get off on that tangent of my Doran comment earlier, but, you know.
Oh, we'll get back to it. I wrote it down.
These quarterbacks, he's good. I mean, okay, Finley was a transfer. Jacoby was a transfer. What quarterback has he developed?
Right.
And that's, you know, we'll see when how McKay goes and why Mr. New Jersey football or whatever, why he didn't develop enough to start this year, but whatever.
So one of the things I have in my notes, and I'm kind of wondering, and is Doran trying to win now, right? Is he thinking McKay's a better game manager? And versus, you know, getting your other guy, your future in there and let him take some bumps and bruises, but let him get that experience. It might cost you something, but you know, what do you really have to lose? I don't know. I think your perspective is probably different if you're a football coach, but it's not like Dorn's in trouble with his job
or anything. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you almost wonder, you know, what it is. And you know, the Hockman thing, everybody asked for him. And I think that's strange too, because by all accounts, and this was when he transferred in, you can go back and read, I think it was the Tallahassee Times, and they talked about how he should have won the job over Blackman that spring, the spring he transferred. They said he was the better quarterback, but for whatever reason, when Taggart came in, he wanted to stick with he wanted to give Blackman a chance. So I can understand the group of people who are saying, you know, these other guys can play. You obviously got some issues. Why aren't you putting them in? And especially when you're playing, you know, when you're up 40 against ECU or you're up whatever against Western, like, get these guys a quarter, like, get them some run, you know, get them some action. So I don't know if Dave Dorn's stubborn. I kind of feel like he's maybe too conservative in that regards. And, you know, again, playing for wins now, which is, again, you know, I get it, but it's not your future, right? Wouldn't you be, the 2020 and 2021 teams are supposed to be loaded with talent. They'll be juniors and seniors. You know, you're playing for those years and you're not getting your supposed QB of the future some run, some practice. I think that's a bit strange, right?
Yeah, we're not in a position to win now. That's not who we are. And I hate it, guys, but we'll never be that team. They're not going to bring in the Clemson players that can have a win now mentality every year because they're rebuilt every year. I think you have to respect a rebuild, which is, you know, win 7 games this year. And I wouldn't have been upset at it necessarily because that's state football. A rebuild year, you're looking at 7-8 wins, and that's okay. And then you have those good years where you hope for 10. But I feel like that win now mentality, that the players just aren't there, they're not developed yet. You have to build toward that to have those good years. And I think you can do more damage by having that mentality if the personnel's not there.
Yeah. So. I agree. I think that, you know, everybody coming into this year was saying 6-6, right? I mean, you might have had somebody say 7 or 8, but the majority of people were saying right in that range, 6-8 wins. Right. I think Vegas had us a 7.5. So, you know, you kind of know what you are. I think it lined up bad, and it's just typical NC State. You're playing two chumps early. You look really good just because they're bad competition, and expectations start to creep up, and West Virginia brings you back to life, right? I mean, it's not a new story. We've seen that a lot of years. So all that kind of plays into the kind of the mentality right now. But, you know, I'm with you. Everybody should expect 6-7 wins for a rebuilding year. I think that's fine. But what I think people want to see is progress. And right now, you don't seem like you're getting much progress, right?
Right. I guess, I don't know. West Virginia is not good.
Right.
But I that's crazy stat I saw. I think that I've got the year right, that they haven't lost an out-of-conference home game since, like, 2011.
Wow.
So I'll give them that, but new coach, I think it was Missouri that had absolutely destroyed them the week before. So we got beat by a team that got destroyed by, you know, mid-to-bottom-level SEC teams. So
right.
That's kind of alarming. That Ball State game was the more disturbing to me, but
yeah, I mean, I'll get to Ball State in a second. The one kind of random analogy that came to me the other day, and I put this out on Twitter in a series of tweets, that last year I asked, like, who was doing our kickoffs? It was Bambard, and he had, I think it was like a 27% touchback rate. I mean, it was abysmal. Kicked a few out of bounds. It just wasn't good. And you had Trent Gill on the roster, who this year is like 95% kicking him out of the back of the end zone, let alone touchbacks.
Right.
He wasn't playing because Bambard was more senior. Maybe he wasn't as good last year. That's what people are saying. You know, Gill developed. He developed a hell of a lot because he's been really good this year. So I think it makes you wonder, like, why wasn't he getting kicks last year?
Yeah.
You know, he got a few, maybe, is what people said, but Bambard took the brunt of them, and he couldn't kick it to the end zone. That was a real issue. Why did Doran stick with it? Is Doran doing the same thing with Matt McKay? Is, you know, he's being a bit too loyal to the guy who's been here a little longer? I don't know. I think it's a valid question.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I ain't got nothing to add to that. Whatever.
And so leaving the Ball State game, nobody was really talking about the game. There was real no excitement. Everybody was just kind of like, all right. And I think there's a couple issues, but I think one is this team doesn't have an identity on offense. And they're running that dink and dunk, and it's not very exciting. And I think people just got bored with that game. And the second half, McKay went 1 for 8 for 1 yard. Like, that's not good enough against Ball State.
Right.
And it's not like he's throwing everything deep and he's missing these big plays. I mean, they're super conservative running stop routes. And I don't know. I think that they don't really have an identity. I think a bit of the NC State offense is what Doran calls it. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you would describe it.
You know what would fix that?
What's that?
Matt Canada. I had to bring him back up.
I'm getting back to that one too. Don't worry.
But no, I agree. There's nothing. I agree completely. You can't categorize it. It's just go out and try and get yards. There's no, I don't know. And then you look at Drink, who goes to Chapel Hill with App State and gets a win this past week. And I mean, I feel like the offense kind of left with him and Finley. That's my problem.
The play calling has been horrendous. Mm-hmm. And maybe not horrendous like they run the Wildcat every play, but horrendous that they are super conservative. And it seems to be the inexperience is showing. Right? I mean, I think one of the things that Dave Doran has done with the defensive philosophy is he wants to make a team go out there and sustain drives and, you know, not give up the big plays, because statistics say it's harder for a team to do that. Well, that's exactly what our offense does. They go out there and they try to sustain drives and it doesn't work, right? Teams adjust to it really quickly. Ball State adjusted to it. West Virginia adjusted to it. I mean, even ECU knew what we were going to do, right? And I think you're playing yourself out of these games by doing that, by having this conservative offense, by not getting the ball to your playmakers. I mean, it's, you know, forgetting that you have Tabari Hines and Keon Lassane and some of these other guys on your roster, not getting them to the edges, not getting them in space, not hitting them on, you know, slant routes or drag routes where they can get the ball and move. I think that's a big mistake. And it's a really strange, I just don't understand what the NC State offense is. Or what they want to be ideally, right?
I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's probably not. But I'm not a fan of the two offensive coordinator deal.
Right.
It's too many roosters in the hen house. Yeah. And it's hard for them to develop an identity because they could be very similar, but they've still got different ideas in the end of what they'd like to see. Right. So how do you settle on one? If you settle on one in the middle, it's probably going to be pretty poopy, like what we're seeing now, you know? See, I'm just adjusting my language already for a future child. But I don't know if that's it, but I just, to me, that seems like it could be an issue. I'd rather see one guy just completely take the reins and it's his offense and that's the way it's going to work. And that head coach can stay out of that too, for that matter. But I don't know how you develop an identity.
Go ahead. Yeah, I would like to see, you know, when they get – when they're obviously frustrated, right? And I think they have to see the inefficiency in the second half. Well, I don't understand why they just don't put four wides and say run four streaks and we're just going to throw deep balls, you know, six times in a row until you hit one.
Right.
You know, you got to stretch them that way, but you also got to build up Matt McKay's confidence. Like, you're playing Ball State, you got a decent lead. Like, let's do something to get your quarterback going, right? Get him feeling good, man. And I don't think they're helping him at all. And maybe it is because you have a new offensive line coach, a new quarterbacks coach, two offensive coordinators, a new tight ends coach. You know, it. But again, Doran claims to be the NC State offense and that stuff doesn't change, then they should be a little better right now.
Yeah, and it should look similar too.
Right.
If it's an NC State offense, then it should be the same every year, close to it. And there's no similarity except losing. I mean, that's
yeah, inefficiency.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you targeted a Mezzi 23 times
in the game. That's absurd, man. And there's no reason that you should have a quarterback that's only comfortable with one guy.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what's going on.
I liked talking to James Henderson, IPS, the other day. He said something about Mezzi's one-handed catch was a great throw by McKay because only his guy can get it. And I thought, I was like, that's a terrible throw because if a Mezzi doesn't get his hand on it, drops right into the hands of the safety. Safety was right there waiting for it. I mean, it was a miracle catch. You don't intentionally throw that saying, yeah, he's going to catch it with one hand behind his head if there was a year or something. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, he hasn't been sharp, but I think the play calling needs to help him. And the one series where he really looked good and the offense really looked good before the second half, they were getting him out. They were bootlegging him and, you know, moving him around. And I think he's much more comfortable that way. So help him out. You know, it's like Little League. I couldn't pitch from the stretch. They let me pitch from, you know, the start every time. And it's, you do it until you get comfortable. And I think they need to do that with McKay. And I don't think they're helping him. And it's really, it's frustrating. And I'm not sure what it is and how much of it is Doran being stubborn. I mean, he's got a tendency to be conservative. We've seen the same thing with the defense. It really hasn't changed since we started this podcast.
No.
And I think there's some red flags in there. And so I want to go back to your comment. You said you don't even know if Dee Dee's right for NC State. Where are you going with that?
Let me go way back. When we first started this, I remember you used an analogy about taking a long time to turn a ship around.
Yep.
And I feel like it started to turn and then it's just sitting. And
yeah,
I feel like last year was a wasted opportunity. You know, it was a good year by standards, but it could have been better. I mean, I was confident enough. I drove to Clemson and watched that snuff film. And that I've never seen a team more unprepared than State at Clemson last year. I mean, I understand who they are and they're great and blah blah blah, but we've played with them every year. But for some reason, our biggest game of the year, we went in and we're not prepared at all. And it kind of looked similar to West Virginia. This year, no, they're not Clemson, but they just didn't look to be in the game. And, you know, it was somewhat close, but I mean, you could tell first quarter West Virginia was going to win that game. And it's the same thing every year. And I understand this is a rebuild, but rebuild to what? I guess is my
right.
And yeah, we got a tough draw. We're in the Atlantic, but Florida State's been down. We didn't do anything with it. That Syracuse game last year really pissed me off too. And now looking at this coming week, you know, I came into the season, oh, Florida State's not going to be great, but I'm not really expecting to win this weekend. So if you look at it that way, did we already miss Florida State being down? I'm not saying Florida State's back by any means, but it shouldn't be a contest this week. We should be in a much better position than they are, but I'm pretty sure they're favorite, aren't they?
6.5.
Yeah. So that shouldn't happen. So, I mean, that same group chat I was talking about earlier, we were talking about is Taggart even worth it? Is he going to be there next year? So we're having that discussion preseason, but we're going and they're favored by almost a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's the right guy. This is what we want every year. But I mean, if that's what state football is, then cool. I always think you can do better, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this because you can see the argument. You know, we bring this up and somebody's going to say, well, he won nine games back-to-back years, first time ever for the program. Okay, you know, that's good. How much of that is built on a soft schedule?
Mm-hmm.
And how many opportunities do you have or do you need before you stop blowing them, right? The Wake Forest game last year was a blown opportunity. The Syracuse game, you said, blown opportunity. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm with you. I think he's done a lot, right? And I love what he says and how he goes about it and the kind of guys he's got. You know, they don't get in trouble like we've seen in the past, yeah. You know, and it's been a good – you just wanted to win, right? You want to see that progress, and I don't necessarily think we've seen, like, that next perception-changing win. I think that was the opportunity West Virginia had, or that West Virginia game was, to start to change the conversation around it. I think if you ask any national writer or national – college football fan, you know, what do they think? Like, yeah, you know, Dave Dorn's doing a good job, but, and there's always going to be some kind of but following
you. That's the thing. Yeah.
And I want to see that next step. I want to see that next, you know, next thing that's going to change the perception of the program. And it's not going to West Virginia and looking like you've never seen, a Rhodes Stadium before.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I'm even good with if we can just get to the stage where we only lose one game a year that we should win. You know,
right?
That's 10 wins a lot of times.
And yeah, the last 2 years. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I just don't know. I mean, it just depends on whether or not you're happy with 9 wins because.
Yeah, I just want to see some growth, right? I want to see some real progress. And if we lose and play really well, then yeah, that's fine. You know, that's going to happen. But looking unprepared and not ready to play, that's the part where we've seen that consistently. And I think that's the part that I really like. That's the red flag for me.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, so moving past that, I got a few more other questions for you. I want you to rank the offensive coordinator since we started the podcast.
Since we started the podcast, well, Canada,
Matt Canada, Drink, and then the Coes.
Yeah, it'd be in that order.
Yeah,
for me, yeah. Canada, man, I'm sorry, but look at what Maryland did last year when he took over.
Yeah.
I mean, he can coach. He's odd. He's weird. LSU deal was odd, but I think that was just a total clash of personalities with him and Gumbo. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I look at what he did, and I feel like he was fired as an excuse, or not an excuse, but evidence of trying to make some changes. Right. And I don't feel like offense was the problem that year. Drink I dogged, but I mean, I was pleased. I still wonder how much a drink was Finley.
Yeah.
But I mean, I beat Carolina this year or this week. So, you know, good for him. I didn't have any problems with him after a couple. There was some random weird play calling, like the Clemson game, for instance. I mean, it was just a disaster offensively.
Clemson does that to a lot of people, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know I'll write that off. These two now, I mean, you just don't know. I'm not a fan of two of them, but, and like you say, there's nothing. What is there to be happy about with the offense this year? So,
right.
I like hiring within for consistency, but if they ain't got it, he's going to have to go elsewhere to get it. So,
you know, and I was hoping Roper would come in and provide some experience and maybe help the quarterbacks, right? He's a quarterback guy, supposedly. I'm not sure what we've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we've seen seems to be pretty standard. You know, it seems to be pretty what you would expect from a young guy. There's no real advancement. And I think that's – and he hasn't, put anything onto the offense that, you know, maybe a new twist or some new perspective. It seems pretty generic. Like, you can say, what is a Wisconsin offense? All right, they're going to line up and they're going to run the ball right down your throat, right? They're going to pound it. What's an Oregon offense, right? They're going to spread it out and they're going to throw it deep and they're going to, you know, run it with 14 guys that can run a 4-2. You know, there's – what is, you know, Mike Leach offense, right? They're going to spread it out. They're going to air raid. They're going to throw it everywhere. And then what's the NC State offense?
Duh.
yeah, exactly. Nobody knows. I don't know if that's intentional, bad execution, bad scheme, but I think me and most other fans believe that they're not putting their guys into position to be successful.
Right.
I think that's disappointing. And you know, it's funny. It's one of those games where, like this week, nobody's got any expectation. Everybody expects us to go down there and lose because we're not very good or we haven't played very well. And you know, this would be one of those games that Doran wins because nobody's expecting anything. You know, I mean, I can see that too. Now, I expect Florida State's probably going to score more than we can probably handle. They're going to get it to. They're going to ride Cam Akers. They're going to get the ball to the outside. And, you know, I don't think our defense is up to that challenge.
Right.
And, I mean, that's another thing. And probably my last question is, you know, the offense gets all the headlines, but since we started this podcast, since the very first episode 4 years ago, we were complaining about Huxtable.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and that was my issue with the candidate firing. I felt it should have been that the other way.
Right.
But you can really tell where a defense is when you give up that many points to a Big 12 team, because that's just another week for them. Their offenses aren't that great. They just have no defenses. So that really pissed me off. I'm over talking. I'm done with him. I mean, I have been. It's never every year. So, well, the secondary is going to be better this year. Well, shit, it can't be worse. You know what I mean? So,
right.
No, there's been no improvement there. He's loyal to a T to him. I don't understand it, but.
Yeah, and so, you know, people have sadly come to expect that, and they don't really talk about it anymore. But I think it's also indicative of, you know, are his loyalties getting in the way in other places, right? They're obviously getting in the way of defense, because you haven't seen defensive progress.
No. It's loyalty in a sense of just complacency. And
yeah,
I think that's going to be exposed a lot more this year because the line is not as good as it was last year. Right. So that's we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully Clemson doesn't put 60 up. But.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do this coming weekend, but, you know.
No, the heels are starting two freshman tackles.
Oof. Oof.
That's not going to be pretty. Mm. That's not going to be pretty. Sam Howell's going to throw four picks. It's going to be ugly. All right. So, all right. Last question. Old time's sake, we spent 30 minutes crapping on the Wolfpack, or at least on Doran's coaching styles. For old time's sake, what's Dustin's lock of the week? I stopped doing them because my picks are terrible.
You know, I haven't
some real value here.
I haven't even looked this week. Let me pull Odd Shark up here.
All right, while you're doing that, I think my lock of the week is State, Florida State, take the under. It's at 61 now. There's no way that hits the over.
Yeah, I can see that. I would agree with that. Yeah. CAA lines. Let's see here. I'm going to go Maryland plus 6.5 home against Penn State.
Ooh.
Like that. Maryland's look good this year. Canada instilled a confidence in them that's going to carry over. He built a dynasty and he's not even there anymore.
Canada's laying on the beach.
Yeah, I think that's decent. I underestimate Penn State every year or overestimate them. So,
yeah.
I don't think James Franklin is the truth like it's supposed to be. But.
James Franklin, the next head coach of the Southern Cal Trojans?
Yeah, it's possible. Franklin, it's guy. Possible. Yeah. I don't know. He seems like a terrible fit for that, but
I have no idea. Yeah.
I think Urban Meyer might be the next coach at USC. Well, that's just my hot take.
I've seen that one, too. That would be interesting.
Urban Meyer might be the next coach of Tennessee, for all I know. So.
Phil Fulmer's the next coach of Tennessee. We all know it. It's all coming.
98, baby.
Yeah. All right, Dustin. Well, I appreciate you coming back, taking the time. And, you know, as a thanks, I've had a lot of fun doing this, and it was because of you that we started this. So,
Yeah. And I'll try. And I mean, I'm down to come back more, but like I said, baby's due in 4 weeks. So,
yeah,
this football season's about over for me. But yeah, I'll try and come back on more for sure.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Go Pack.
Go Pack.
Let's go, baby. Come get us
one. Let's go. What are you saying? I can't wait here on how many.
Let's go.
All day, Patsy. Delta!
Set! Rivers, shotgun snap to pass. They rush forward to the end zone. Keenan Allen caught touchdown!
Woo! Talking about, baby.
And the Bolts are on the board first.
Yes!
We about blew the money! Hell no, freeze!
Freeze, and everybody be still because we got a touchdown. Gosh, I motioned the wrong guy. No, I motioned Dontrell. And I was like, oh, shoot, it's the other guy. Dontrell and Kenny were both coming in motion.
Hey, I see you right here. Hey.
Everybody stop. Hey, I can just tell you right now, 57's firing. He's the new Clowney. Set. Green 80. Good. Told you. Hey. Hey. You don't play Mike. Why would you line up there? Good.
JJ says you're getting the ball up too fast. Why don't you slow down a little bit?
Yeah. I bet he does. Yeah. Blue! Hey, Hunt! Hunt! Hey, that's you! Hey! Right here! Right here! Right here! Put your hands up, tell everybody you made the play. You like last one. Put your hands up, tell everybody. I'm just having fun. Quit just making up alerts. You're like, you hear things, you scream, reverse, you don't know what's coming. Good.
Motion. Rivers on the duress over the middle. Allen breaking a tackle, and he will launch into the end zone for the touchdown.
Great job. Some big plays, man. Huge third downs, Mike. Way to go, man. Come on, man. Hold in there. Come on, keep fighting. Just keep fighting.
Fourth and 13. Chargers trying to stay alive. Rivers under pressure. That pass is caught.
They bring pressure, has to climb the pocket, and he's going to use his legs. Rivers diving forward near the first down marker. He'll be 2 yards short.
Hey, Coach, good game. Good game. Great game, brother. You're one of the smartest I've ever played against.
Great job.
Awesome.
Good game.
Hop. Good game. Good game.
One play, man. Good game. Good game. What's your speed?
Hey, Evan, how you doing? It's Ed from L.A. Good job on the podcast this week. Agree with all your comments. I agree with you and Wolfpack Nation. Very frustrating. You know, can't compete with Power 5 teams. I don't see a big win versus Ball State. I really don't. I see like a hard-fought game in doubt in the fourth quarter until late, 24-13 NC State victory. But if Doran doesn't have them ready to play, they're going to lose. They're going to lose this game. They better be ready to play. Anyway, I'm like you. I want to see him succeed. He's recruited well. He's had a couple of really good years, and this is rebuilding. We know that. But get a good quarterback in there, whether it's Matt or one of the other guys. Just get a good quarterback in there that can run the team and run the ball and throw the ball and just score on the other teams. That's what we want to see. Don't want to see the same things over and over again in the second half. And I'm with you. I want to see the coaches adjust. They got to adjust. Talk to you later. Go Pack.